This afternoon, hopefully, is the closing Chabura and Simon Shin Yud Ches. Worth taking a moment just to appreciate that. Baruch Hashem, for the last many, many weeks, last couple of months, Baruch Hashem, the first half of the year was the other shorter malachas in Sidur of the past, and Baruch Hashem, I had a chance really to work hard on a number of the key sugyas in malachas Bishul. And here we come to the closing Si'ifim of Simon Shin Yud Ches. Si'if Tes Zayin is rooted in the Gemara at the very, very end of Bava Tumna. For the last couple of lines, the Gemara quotes a brisa on the top of Nun Aleph Amud Beis about Ein Merazkin or Ein Meraskin, different girsos, Lo Sashag Velo Sabard B'Shabbos B'Shvil She'Yazuvu Meimav. I cannot take a handful of snow or of ice and squeeze it into water. I can put it in a cup and let it melt on its own. I can put it in a dish and let it melt on its own. But for me to actively squeeze it, tell you the finished. So the Rosh quotes a Sefer HaTruma, Rabbeinu Baruch, Mitalmidei Hari. We've had the chance already a number of times in Hilchos Shabbos to come across Pesachim Rabbeinu Baruch. So the Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Baruch as saying that this Gemara is a source to be careful, we'll Mirtz Hashem in the next couple of weeks, lean up to and beyond Pesach, we'll have a chance to pivot from the Malacha of Bishul to the Dinim Derabbanan and the Gzeros of Al Gabi Ha'esh. Shehi Anachazar and Nesina Mechadash. So the Sefer Truma says that let's say I have a empanada, I have a pashtida, they're using different, showing them use different languages, either French pastry, pastida perhaps, or empanada is like an empanada, which is for sale in Spanish restaurants in the neighborhood. So different Rishonim, you can track to an extent who's, remember the tour traveled with his father from Ashkenaz to Sfarad. So it's not surprising to hear both French and German words in the tour as well as Spanish words. But whatever it is, they're all discussing more or less same or similar cuisine or similar item, which is you have some sort of pastry, some sort of pie, something, some sort of calzone, something with a filling, and it includes chunks of congealed fat, delicious and nutritious, perhaps. And something that you're excited to eat on Shabbos, something even more excited to eat warmed up. Rabbeinu Baruch says, Chas v'shalom, you're going to take the pashtida, you're going to take the empanada, you're going to warm up on Shabbos, it's a violation of Merazkin because there's congealed fat when you're going to warm it on the oven, even if you manage to avoid, it's already baked, so there's no problem of Bishol, because in Bishol Achar Bishol, you'll do it in a way that's not a violation of Shein HaChazara, of HaChazara. You'll put it next to the fire, or you'll Kedera, Gav Kedera, whatever the solutions are, Bli Neder, we'll get to that. But Rabbeinu Baruch says, Hayitachin, it's against the last Gemara in Bava Tumna. It's the equivalent of melting, of squeezing snow until it melts, because you're liquefying the fat. So that's the approach of Rabbeinu Baruch and Shulchan Aruch. It's a machlokas, more or less machaber Ramah. The machaber says we ignore Rabbeinu Baruch, and Ramah says lechatchila, unless there's a tzorech, we would advise. What's the issue? Since you saw the Beis Yosef quotes many, many Rishonim who disagree for a variety of reasons. Number one, the Rambam and the Rashba have an entirely different approach to the Gemara. The Ein Merazkin does not have to do with nolad, as Rabbeinu Baruch puts it. It's not an issue of changing state. It's an issue of Gzeirim Shem Shechita. The Rashba is explicit about that. The Rambam Kidarko becomes clear by positioning, by where he puts it in the Drabbanan Prakim. So if it has to do with Schita, so then we understand well why there's a difference between being Merasik, be a dying versus just letting it melt passively. And putting it on the fire is definitely not an act, is not an act of Schita, even in Drabbanan. So if you hold like the Rambam, we hold like the Rashba, the Beis Yosef quotes, the Ram Barich, the Rashba is Rashba on the Sugya, on and off on Beis, is to an extent even sharper, the Rashba, the Ran are part of the same Beis Hamedrash. Rashba was several generations before the Ran. The Ran is, I think, a great Grand Talmud or great Grand Talmud of the Rashba. So that whole slew of Chachme Sfarad assume that this is a Gzerim Shem Schita. It's a form of Schita. It's a Gzerim Shem Schita. It's irrelevant to the Tehidin and Pashtidim. The Rashba and the Ran think that there's another approach to the Gemara, which is also connected to Bein Baruch, and that's Rashi. And they point to Rashi, and the Rashba first presents Rashi, and then he says, I happen to have a different approach. I think that it's a Schita issue. But he says, Rashi, what does Rashi say? A Maraskin, come on, Maraskin, what's the issue? Okay, he says, Mishum de Kamolid b'Shabbos, Rashi is an alpha and beis, v'dami l'malacha shebore ha-mayim ha-ilu. It's molid. It's similar to malacha because you're creating these waters. So number one, and it's very poetic that this takes us back to the first chabura of on Hilcha Shabbos, back in El of Tashin Pei Aleph. This Rashi is one of the sources in Rishonim. What's Rashi saying? What is Rashi saying? So the Rashba starts saying, well, Rashi is talking about Srach Malacha. It's not really a question of Nolad and Muktza. Srach Malacha, well, what's Rashi saying? Well, Rashi is saying L'chora, because again, the Ran, the Rashba present Rashi as different than Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch is not only against, it's not only Rabbeinu Baruch is not going to work if you think the Gemara is B'Shem Schita, Rabbeinu Baruch also won't work if you think the Gemara is Kefi Perush Rashi. What Rashi seems to be saying, and one could push back against the Rashba, the Ran, perhaps this is what Rabbeinu Baruch means as well. You've got to figure out if this can fit into the language of Rabbeinu Baruch. What Rashi appears to be saying is a big yisod. He doesn't identify any particular malacha, although it could be, it's hard to know for sure, it could be that the Rashba the Ran think that he's saying dami la malacha mean dami la malachas schita. It's hard to know for sure. But al pi pashas, it sounds like Rashi is saying something more general. This is like the concept of malacha, not just like a particular malacha. The concept of malacha, going back to the very first chabura, the concept of malacha, as you saw the Or Zeruah, the Tosfos in Or Zeruah, the beginning of Perek HaZorik, that I'm just explaining that Hotzah is a malacha geruah because there's really no chiddush, or there seems like negligible chiddush. And I took an item and I moved it from Rishus number one to Rishus number two. The item itself was not Nishtana. There's no Chiddush in the item. It's the same item that it was. Kamashul, that's why I need a Pasuk to tell me that the Hotzah is a Malacha. So what does that mean? What does that mean? That the essence of Malacha is that you're Mechadar something in the item. As we explained back in Elul, that accords well with the Tama Mitzvah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vasar Mos Nir Ve'olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't work hard. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was working hard and then he rested physically from his exertion, so we too should hold back from physical exertion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't exerting himself at all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being creative in a superlative way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being as creative as one could possibly. Yesh Me'ayin. Human beings are never that creative, but we can be creative as well in smaller human ways. We can be Bore Yesh Me'yesh. So on Shabbos, we're supposed to, fundamentally, we're seeking to not be mechadish things about other items, not to create chidusha within other chafatzim. That's what malach is. So that's what sounds like the Rashi is saying here, is not that melting the water is like a particular malacha, but melting the water is like malacha. The malacha. Malacha with a capital M. That's the essence of malacha, is that you're being creative. So to actually create something, in lacha malacha gedol mizu, we can't really say that's exactly malacha's bona, but it captures the essence of malacha. That's what Rashi sounds like he's saying, that there's this concept of molid. I believe it comes up, if I remember correctly, in Beitza also, the Easter Rabbanan against scenting clothing. To light a mugmer, even on Yom Tov, where the lighting things on fire may or may not be a malacha, but if you're doing it in order to scent clothing, so that might be a Easter Rabbanan of molid. Again, it's the same idea. It doesn't fit into the rubric of any particular one of the malachas, so it's not part of any of the 39 categories that's doomed to Mishkan, so I can't call it Malacha Daraisa because the Torah told me in Parshas Vayakel, that goes back to Shabbos Daf Mem Tes, the Torah told me in Parshas Vayakel that the only Malachas which are Aser are those Malachas that are doomed to Mishkan. Okay, so here's a Malacha, but it's not doomed to Mishkan. I can't fit it in to any of the 39 categories. Okay, but it does capture the essence of Malacha. So it's a violation of the spirit of the law, even if not the letter of the law. But that's what Rashi sounds like he's saying. If there's an Issur Rabban of Molad B'Shabbos because you're being Borei. It's like Malacha because you're being Borei, the water. You're creating the water. You're not literally creating the water. There's no violation of conservation of mass going on here. But it was in solid form, and now it's in liquid form. So that's a significant enough change that it captures the essence of Malacha. That's a question. Does that not accord with Rabbeinu Baruch? Or maybe it does. Now here you have this congealed fat and you're liquefying it. So maybe that's also molded. And then this the smog pushes back in terms of biyadayim. This Beis Yosef quotes that as well. That's perhaps kasha number three on the Sefer HaTruma. The Gemara is machalik between doing biyadayim, which is aser, versus just putting on the Saruch HaKos, which is mutter. So you put on top of the fire, that's not particularly active, not squeezing it, the heat is doing its job. So that's the third kasha. Now, Lamaisa, as we said, the Mechaber says we follow the Rover Rishonim. The Rashba and the Rama, I believe he mentions Rashi also, on the assumption that Rashi is also Deloka to Rabbeinu Baruch. And that's what he writes in Beis Yosef, and Shulchan Aruch, that's what he says. Mutter, no problem. Afa Pisha Shuman Shabanik Shenikrash. The Mechaber says it's not an issue. He uses the term in Panada because the Mechaber was a Sephardi. So that was the more accessible term. Now the Ramah, as we said before, says, well, V'yesh Machmirin, Nogu L'Hachmar Lis is a Tzorach. Why? So the Magen Avraham writes, both Sifkat and Mem Beis on the Ramah and in Sifkat and Mem on the Shulchan Aruch, you have to put the mug there. You have to put the mug and Avram's together. He says that what the Rama is saying is that we are lechatchila choshir for sefer truma. The Beis Yosef rejects sefer truma. Beis Yosef rejects Ben Bara. Not Rabbi Shomer against it. Rama says not so fast. Not so fast. It's true. Rabbi Shomer against Rabbi Baruch. To be welcome tzorech, we're relying on Rabbi Shonim, but there isn't overwhelming tzorech. The food is edible. Or you have other things you conserve, whatever it is. So if you can figure out how to swing your Suda Shabbos, have a decent Suda Shabbos, have a nice Suda Shabbos, without heating the empanada, Rama says that would be appropriate. Why? Because we are worried about Rabbeinu Baruch. That's what the Magen Avraham says. Well, what does that mean? So the Magen Avraham highlights, because after all, he writes, the beginning of Sifkat Mem Beis, V'shum da'ashum and saf l'mayla, v'havi be'en. It's not like the shelag. In other words, as the snow melts, it's going to blend in, the water is going to blend into the snow or sink to the bottom. But here, when you have your pie, as the oil liquefies, as it warms up and liquefies, it's because it's oil, it's going to rise to the top. So what's he saying? What's the Magen Avraham's point? So presumably the Magen Avraham is pushing back against the Sefer HaTruma. Against the smog. The Beis Yosef quote, the smog is saying, Akasha, we said the third problem with the Rebbe Rabbeinu Baruch is how it's not Biyadayim. The Gemara had said it's only a problem is Biyadayim. Right? The Brisa had said it's only a problem to Merasek as opposed to Nosin L'Soch HaKos. So the smog had said, isn't this Nosin L'Soch HaKos? But the question is, why is Nosin L'Soch HaKos Mutter? So the Beis Yosef Rebbe begins to have that conversation. Why is Nosin L'Soch HaKos Mutter? Is Nosin L'Soch HaKos Mutter just because it's not Biyadayim? You're just leaving it there to melt on its own? Or is Nosin L'Soch HaKos Mutter specifically because it's a Kos Mole? I'm putting ice cubes into a drink. So I put ice cubes into a drink, then it's Nolad B'Tarovet. So if it's Nolad B'Tarovis, then Remeko, because it's being Misarev immediately. But that's not the case here. No, Batarva is Arav immediately, and even from a Rashi Molid perspective, you aren't really creating something that's distinctly new, because as it's turning into liquid, it's just blending right in. So there is less bore going on. But here, as the congealed fat liquefies, it's rising to the top. So it is distinct. It's not Nisarev. It is distinct. It is Nikar. So that's what the Magen Avraham appears to be saying. Rabbeinu Baruch is defensible. In Achanami, the clearly Rishon would disagree with him. The Rambam, the Rashba, the Ran understood that the Brice is worried about Schita. Schita is irrelevant to the Empanada. But if you think it's Molid, again, which Rashi may or may not be aligned with Rabbeinu Baruch, but certainly, particularly if you take a Molid approach, it's not so clear that just because it happens by you're putting it on the fire rather than you're actively manipulating it, that makes it less of an issue, particularly since it's going to rise to the top, it's going to remain Nikar. So you can make an argument, Magen Avraham seems to be saying, you can defend Rabbeinu Baruch, and that's what the Ramah says, unless it's a Tzorech, we are Machmer like Rabbeinu Baruch. Now, there's something else in the background going on as well, which is something that the Magen Avraham highlights back in Sifkat and Mem, when he's discussing the Mechaber, which is, how about Bishol? We've been talking so much about Nolad, about Schita, how about you're putting something on the fire? So that's actually, it's ironic that this is raised in Simon Shin Ches, a Simon about Bishol, but the focus in the Beis Yosef is not on Bishol. That's consistent with what we saw earlier in the Simon also. There were a couple of Se'ifim that we skipped because they were talking about handling things on the fire. Sivka and Zion, Sivvav, Siv Zion, Sivches. Dvar Mavu Shalom, that was more of an issue of Shia and Achazara. So it made it into Simon Shia and Ches, even though it's not Melechas Bishol. So Siv Te Zion also is not officially Melechas Bishol, until the Magen Avraham points out, aha, that's actually significant. It's not Bishol. The Magen Avraham doesn't make a big deal out of it, but he does say it's not Bishol. Why isn't it Bishol? One second. But it's a davar lach, or it's a davar yavish. Well, it's not bishul because it's a mevushal. Yeah, but it's a davar lach, or it's a davar yavish. Which one is it? And is that why the Ramah is being machmer? That's what I said before. You look at the Magen Avraham, it's clear that the reason why the Ramah is machmer is not because he's worried about bishulach and bishul b'davar lach. He's being machmer because of Noah. This is not bishulach and bishul b'davar lach. Why not? Because it's not a davar lach. Magen Avraham is explicit about it, though not so direct. It's blended into what else is going on in Sivkat Mem. And then the Mishnah Brura is even more direct about it. In Sivkat and Kuf, the first Sivkat on Simet HaZayin, the Mishnah Brura says it's essentially read the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham is the Bein the Bach, that if it starts as solid, even though the course of warming it's going to liquefy, that's called Yavish. Or you'd say Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. It raises an interesting question in terms of butter. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, Hu Adinami, let's say I have bread and butter and I want to warm it. We're getting into the long Shavasos, but Shal Shudas, even if you're not a Dutch or a Yekka, even if you're not Tuvia, you could still have a milchuk shal shudus. The question is, I'd say I'd like to warm up buttered bread. Is that a problem? So I'll be pashtus, that's mamash sifta zayin. As Ramosha says, that's mamash sifta zayin. Says there's not much to discuss. Of course it's mutter. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is not so sure because he suggests that maybe there's more of an issue because this isn't, he says, maybe it's less of an issue when it's the same shame. It's oil which congealed. It's all the same shame. But here, it's not just called, you know, you don't, butter is to an extent congealed, process, you know, it's a manipulated cream. It's milk cream that was manipulated to solidify more. It's churned, so it solidifies. But lamasa, we refer to it as butter and not as cream. And in Hebrew, we call it chema as opposed to shuman. So Rosh Hashanah says maybe we should be more concerned about heating butter because it's two different shemas. So they're more distinct, they're more different. But Rav Moshe writes, I'll be pashas, is mamash the same thing. If you put the bread and butter, again, you're going to have to figure out how you're not in violation of chazara. But let's say you put a kedera agave kedera, one of the solutions. So then in terms of bishul, he thinks that should not be a problem. So that's sif, tes, zayin. Question?
Would like congealed sauce be any different?
Yeah, so that's l'chora. That l'chora, the congealed sauce is what... is what, what's it called? The congealed sauce. Well, congealed sauce in a small amount. And that's what the Rambam might be saying, Sifkat Mem. If you have a whole, it could be like if you have a whole pan full, you have a pan of chicken, the whole layer of congealed sauce, it could be that it's mutter in part because it's blended in. It's tafel to the pashtita. So that's the question. Maybe you call it a davar yavesh dafu because it's part of a larger davar yavesh, and it's yavesh, even this bit is yavesh when you begin. Perhaps, yeah. And then sif yud zayin, we spoke about already, the hefsher, that question of when are we goes there. If it I only want to warm it. I want to get it to a warmer point, but still you're below Atzalazbo, but it's in a place where if I leave it long enough, it will get to Atzalazbo, as that we discussed in earlier Chabura. Sif Yud Ches is a discussion of stirring. Stirring. Is stirring a malacha of bishul? So there are several sources that stirring is a malacha of bishul. One is the Braisa on in Beit Sadaf Lama Dalad. It talks about the situation where several different people do different steps and each one is chayiv, depending on what order they do it in. So you have the food, it's already, you have a fire, then you put the food on, and then someone stirs, the echad megas. So in that scenario where you have the fire going, then you put the pot on, you put the food in, and then someone stirs, so the megas is chayiv, even though the food's already on the fire. So that's one source that hadas is a problem. And then, of course, you have the sugya, the more complex sugya, on Daf Yud-Ches Amud Beis, right, the Mishnah again. We had seen this Mishnah earlier in the year. That's the Mishnah Al Pi Pashtus, a discussion of the Gemara. Al Pi Pashtus, the Mishnah Yud Zayin on Beis Yud-Ches Amud Aleph, is the machlokas over Shvisas Kalim. Can I set up a system where all of my actions are done in Erev Shabbos, but my equipment continues to do a malacha on Shabbos? And Beishamai say that's a Iser Shvisas Kalim, just like there's Iser Shvisas Behema, to have my Behema do malacha on my behalf on Shabbos. My Behema is definitely allowed to munch grass, even though that's kotzer. My Behema is allowed to do malacha for itself, but for my Behema to do malacha on my behalf, that's a violation of Pasuk in Chumash, Aseres HaDibros, Atu Behemtecha, say in Kiddush Arbuk. So Beishamai understand that not only a behema, but even inanimate objects that I own, the problem of Shvisas Kalim, and Beis Hillel say no. That's the Mishnah, in the course of which you have the discussion about putting etzemer liyora. Beishamai say that I cannot put up a pot of wool and dye on the fire unless I do it early enough, the wool would have already absorbed the color before Shabbos. And Beis Hillel say, what's the issue? And that's in the course of discussing that case in Yuches and Beis. So the Gemara talks that it's Semer Liyora, and shouldn't we be worried he'll become the Imagus? So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's a case where it's off the fire and it's sealed, so I'm not worried you're going to be Imagus. And let's say I'll be Imagus, what would be? So Rashi says, if you're Imagus, that's Bishul. Your magus is bishul, but mevushal havi bishul. That's what Rashi says. So that's another source for Hagasa. Although Tosas, as you saw, has a different, very teeny tiny Tosas that packs a very big punch. Tosas says, ah, if you're giving Megas, Vahavit Soveya. So then it would. Then it would be Tzoveya. So he's taking, Tosas is taking, because after we're talking about a Yore of Tzemer Liyori, putting wool in with dyes. It's not a question of being Mavashah Samamanim, it's a question of being Tzoveya the Tzemer. So Tosas removes this whole Sugya from the Bishul discussion, which is significant. As you saw, the Beis Yosef arranges, one issue is, again, even according to Tosis, Hagasa on food, on the fire, definitely, that you don't need Shabbos daf yud ches, you have Beitza daf lama dalet. But as you saw, the Ramban, the Rajba think that it's only the first stir. The first stir gets things going. Right? And you think sometimes if you've, you need to turn things up, but then once everything's stirred up, now everything's going to cook evenly, and further stirring is not mitzorche bishul. Or the other Yishodim disagree, and that Beis Yosef points out, the other Yishodim disagree and think that it's even further stirring up until the point of Bishul, which again, that brings us back to the Machlokas, Tosas, Rajba, Rambam, whether you say in Bishul Acher Bishul only once you reach Kamushul Kotzarko, or as soon as you reach Kamachal Ben Yosef. Whatever that point is, that's when the Isser Hagasa will shut down. Unlike the Ramban and the Rashba, who say it's only once. So Shulchan Aruch says, Shulchan Aruch says that what? Shulchan Aruch says that Yehagasa Zasir does not bring up the kula of the Ramban and the Rashba that after the first time is mutter, the ein hagasa achar hagasa, so to speak. But he does say ein bishul achar bishul. He does say that once the mavushal called sarko, because again we paskin the ein bishul achar bishul only once he hit mavushal called sarko. Once the mavushal called sarko, so then what's the issue with stirring? He says if it's not mavushal called sarko, it is an issue. And that means you shouldn't even scoop. You have to be careful even in terms of how you scoop it. Even scooping things out. See, motzi bekaf is also a form of hagasa if it's in a mavushal called sarko. But let's say it is my virtual called sarko. So the Mechaber says that's only an issue by virtual called sarko is only an issue by the wool, because you're continuing to drive the color in deeper, and that's a continuing violation of tzoveya. But the Ramah has a chumrah, a fascinating chumrah. L'chadchila yesh lizar af b'keder b'chol inyan. Ramah says that even by my virtual called sarko, there's still a problem of hagasa. Which is very, very surprising. Very, very, very surprising. And this brings us to the world of the Kolbo, a very surprising chumrah that Hagasa is, you're allowed to put it back on the fire, but you're not allowed to stir it. So that's it could be it's rooted in Rashi, who said b'mavushal on Yuchesim Beis b'mavushal havi bishul. What do you mean b'mavushal havi bishul? Mavushal, it's right, mavushal. So it could be he just means food which is meant to be cooked. But the simple reading of Rashi is saying that hagasa constitutes bishul even though the food's already cooked, which is a surprising chumrah. We do accept it somewhat. We even are machmir. We are even machmir shelo al gabe ha'esh. You're going to put it back on the fire. And so you've seen the ideal way to scoop challant, Friday night challant, where you want to then put it back on the, if you have a Friday night pot and a Shabbos morning pot, so then it's namash no shayel. So you take the Friday night pot off the fire, you put it down on the counter, and you serve it. And then for Shabbos morning, you have the other pot. If you have the same cauldron of challant for Friday night and Shabbos morning, So how are you going to handle that? So you have to. So we are machmir to avoid doing hagasa. But the post of the Mishnah Berurah differentiates that at least off the fire, we are only worried about stirring, but not about scooping. On the fire, we would try to avoid scooping as well, which is why ideally what you want to do is remove the pot from the fire, scoop out the chalm that you want, and then put it back on. Again, you're going to have to take it off and put it back on in a way that's not going to be a violation of Achazara. We'll get to that in Mitzvah Shem going forward, the conditions that need to be in place in order to not violate the Issa Drabanan of putting it back on the fire. But those conditions begin with making sure that it's Mavushal Kol Tzarko. If you have food which is not Mavushal Kol Tzarko, we assume that Machal Ben Drusay, you don't say in Bishal Achabishal. If you take the chalm off the fire, it turns out that it's half raw, only three quarters cooked, then you can't put it on. It's a violation of a daraisa to put it back on the fire. So you put it back on the fire on the assumption that it's mavushal kol tzarko, but we would still not want to scoop while it's on the fire. We wouldn't even want to, even off the fire, we would scoop, but we wouldn't stir. That's lamas, I think that's what we usually... That is what we usually assume. That's where the Kolbo talks about scooping out. The Beis Yosef limits it. That's how the Mishnah Berurah fears us. That at least Shaloh Agavi Ha'esh. Shaloh Agavi Ha'esh. Our concern is only, which is already a big chumrah, Mavushal Kol Tzarko. And Shaloh Agavi. There is Bishal Shaloh Agavi Ha'esh, but it's Mavushal Kol Tzarko. Shaloh Agavi Ha'esh, and it's only Hotsa'a b'kaf, rather than Hagasa, so that we're comfortable with assuming that it is Mavushal Kol Tzarko. Se'if Yud Tes, the final sif. The Beis Yosef points out it's a Kolbo, the din that he quotes from the Kolbo in Beis Yosef, he quotes here in Shulchan Aruch, Se'if Yud Tes, points out it may be rooted in a Rashi later on Daf Kuf Tes, Asher Dol Tuach Shum Shemen v'shum al atzli ba'odo k'neged ha'madura. Afilu nitzla ha'atzli min ba'od yom. I have meat which is grilling. K'neged ha'madura. So this is a setup without an al-gabi ha'esh problem. Once again, we're avoiding all the problems shi'in ha'chazara. Because now on top of the fire, I have a big fire, I have a bonfire, I have a fire in the fireplace, and I have meat set up facing the fire. And the meat's already grilled. The meat's already grilled, I still can't baste it with shum v'shemen. I can't baste it on Shabbos with oil and garlic because yisbashel hashum v'shemen. The heat of the madura is going to cook the shum v'shemen. So what's the chiddush? That seems pretty obvious. No? I mean, the Gemara and Daf Mem told us that yesh b'shemen mishum bishel, that we had earlier. Well, what's the chiddush? Obviously, the oil is not cooked. Obviously, the garlic is raw. That's the whole point. The meat is cooked, the garlic is raw. The chiddush of the chiddush is that I could have imagined saying that there's a concept of ikar and tafel by in bishul achar bishul. That's presumably what the Kolbo's point. I would have had a havminah to say that I'm not just to put a cup of oil k'neged ha'madura. That's beferish. You can wind up mem is also, but to baste to brush some oil onto already grilled meat. So I could have said the meat you say in bishul achabishul in sliach hatzli. So the oil is immediately bottled to the. I'm not putting the oil here separately. I'm just brushing it onto the meat. So I could have said maybe it's tafel to the meat, so it's covered by the in bishul achabishul on the meat. Perhaps that's the chiddush. The kamash malan, it's raw. Kamash malan, that just because you're adding a raw tafel to an already cooked ikker is going to present a problem of bishul on the tafel. Then the Mishnah Berurah sort of unpacks some of the lamais of this, irrelevant to some earlier pieces. Number one, he says the Mechaber only said keneged ha'esh. The Mishnah Berurah is quoting the Magen Avraham, the last Magen Avraham in the Siman. He says if you took the meat off the fire, but it's still hot, it says, and the Magen Avraham points to the truth is, that's the impression you get from the Rashi and Daf Kuf Tes. If the meat's still hot, I put it down on a tray, and I'm going to rub on oil, but the meat's still sizzling, it's never gush, that we discussed a week or two ago. This is maybe one of the makoros for a problem of davar gush. That Maravan points out that Rashi and Daf Kuf Tes sounds like to put on the oil is a problem, even if the meat is a ratio low. I already put the meat down. I put the meat down in a tray, but if it's a davar gush, a yatsalasbo, that is, and not just yatsalasbo, but hot enough that it'll get the oil to yatsalasbo, that is a problem. So that's point number one. And point number two, the Mishnah Berura quotes from this Magen Avraham, is how about solidified cooked? How about solidified cooked oil? Solidified oil. So he says, well, on the one hand, on the other hand, he says, the Magen says, I told you before, earlier, Sifta Zayin, the solidified oil is going to be fine if it blends in. It's not going to be fine if it doesn't blend in. Now, that's what he had said. That the reason why the Ramah is machmir, unless there's an overwhelming tzorach by the empanada, is because the oil is tzaf. So the question is here, is it really blending into the meat totally? So then it's not an issue. But if I'm going to put a solid chunk of fat on the meat and it's going to liquefy, but there's going to be a layer, so forget about bishul, maybe I have to be worried about the molad issues. And then finally. So we spoke about Sifta Zayin, the question of the liquefying solid, it spoke as Sif Yud Ches, the question of stirring and scooping, it spoke as Sif Yud Tes, the question of garnishes, of basting, of Iker and Tafel. And the final issue, which does not appear in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Magen Avraham did raise earlier, where was this? Sif Katan Yud, maybe? No, Sif Katan Chaf. Sifkat and Yud. Yeah, it was Sifkat and Yud. I'm sorry. Right, Sifkat and Yud. Every once in a while, the Magen Avraham does this several times in this siman alone. Does it end of Sifkat Membez. He does the end of Sifkat and Yud. And he does this many other places in Aruch Chaim, where he'll, most of the time, he's commenting line by line on the Shulchan Aruch. But every once in a while, he wants to raise a Maramach, and the Shulchan Aruch didn't talk about it, or an issue. Shulchan Aruch talk about it. So I'll just have... Sometimes we'll do it the way he does it here, where it looks like it's the end of Sifkat and Yud, but it's really a separate paragraph. Every once in a while, it'll actually be at the beginning of the Siman. Before you even begin the Siman, before Sifkat and Alpha, it just has his own paragraph, not numbered. The mathematicians and computer scientists will say, that's Sifkat and zero. And it comes before Sifkat and number one. In some graduate level math books, they get they refer to the introduction as chapter zero. Like the, you know, chapter 1 has different sections. So 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4. Sometimes they'll refer to the sections of the introduction as 0.1, 0.2, 0.3. So Magen Avraham comes to have a Sifkat and zero. He gives his own separate paragraph unrelated to the Shulchan Aruch before he gets to Sifkat and Yud. Anyhow, but here you have at the end of Sifkat and Yud. So it's usually just conventionally, if you want to give the Maramach, it'll be Sof Sifkat and Yud. He quotes this Rambam. Rambam that we've already mentioned several times. Which is that the Rambam talks about three different definitions. So a Shechter's Nusach, I believe, from the Rav. The Rambam talks about three different definitions of Bishul. It depends on the item that you're dealing with. Bishul on food is being machsher, unfit, inedible food, making food edible through heat. Bishul on mayim, water is already, particularly if you take the Rav's and Kivager's understanding of the Rambam on food, that's only when it's inedible, that it's not roi lecha kmo shuchai. So how you understand water? Gemara, the Mishnah is Gemara explicit that there's bishul on water, but water can be drunk cold as well. It may be better or hot sometimes, but it can be drunk cold as well. Rambam says there's a separate definition. If you look at Chazal carefully, it's talking about being mechamim, water, raising it to Yatsarazba. That's the definition of Bishul on water. And then finally, the definition of Bishul on non-food items. The first two the Rambam has at the very beginning, Perek Tetzalacha Aleph. your ofer or mevashel as hamachal, or samadim, or mechameim as hamayim. But then in Perek Tes Lachavav, he talks about non-food items. He talks about non-food items. It's not entirely Rambam's Chiddush. Rambam is drawing it from, among other places, the Shabbos Ayin Dalam Beis. We've been talking a lot about Hilchus, the Halachas and Melachas Bishul, based on Sugyas in the first parak and the third parak, and later in the Masechta. But the truth is, Klal Gadol, or the first half of the year, we were very busy with Klal Gadol. There is a Sugya of Bishul in Klal Gadol as well, on Ayin Dalam Beis. The Gemara begins, it's interesting, the main dinim of Bishul do not appear at all, because Bishul has other addresses. Bishul has other homes. Borer appears in an Ayin Dal, because that doesn't really have another address within Masechta Shabbos. But Bishul does. So the Gemara makes 2 points about Bishul. The first one is to Rapapa's Ha'ara about the language, that the language of the Mishnah is Bishul rather than Ofen. Why is that? After all, the Mishkan had Bishul Samamonim. The Bishul in the Mishkan was the dye, so why is the Mishnah talk about baking rather than about cooking? And the Gemara explains, oh, that's because we wanted to use the formulation, the sequencing, Sidur Depas. As an aside, that's significant, that the Eglei Tal, the very beginning of the Eglei Tal, points out, the Machlok is Bavi Yerushalmi, we talk about Dumi, we may have spoken at the beginning of the year, we talk about Dumi the Mishkan. What does Dumi the Mishkan mean? The Gemara and Memtes. Dumi de Mishkan. I mean, Dumi da Asiyas HaMishkan, or even Dumi da Avodos HaMishkan. Yerushalmi says that Bishul Ofe is because after they were baking Lachapanim, Menachas, and so forth. The Bavli here is Tameya. What Ofe? They did Bishul the Mishkan. What do you mean they did Bishul the Mishkan? The Psukim are pretty clear, pretty explicit in Parsha Vayikra and on. There was plenty of baking going on in the Mishkan. The answer is, Egetal points out, that the Bavli is assuming they were only talking about Asiyas HaMishkan, not the Avodos and the ongoing use and functioning of the Mishkan. That may, food for thought, that may relate, the approach to the Bavli may work well with Ramban, Allah Torah, who points out that Mishkan and Karbanos, Mishkan Lachud and Karbanos Lachud, so much so that Mishkan is in Shemos and Karbanos are in Vayikra. Because unlike the Rambam that opens Sefer Avodah with Beis HaBechira and Klei Mikdash Va'ovdim Bo, but the Psukim put Terumah Tetzaveh Yalkut Pikudei in Shmos. Rabban explains because the Mishkan is much more than merely a place for Avodah. Karbanos are an afterthought. Once you have a Mishkan, so it, if you're going to bring Karbanos, the best place to bring Karbanos is in the Mishkan. But the essence of Mishkan, the Rambam writes, was much more than merely Karbanos. The essence of Mishkan was a hemshech of the Kirvas Elokim, the Vishachanti Besochem that we experienced at Har Sinai. So, Bigadol, the notion that that according to the Bavli, we're only learning from Asiyas HaMishkan, not Avodas HaMishkan, accords well with the Ramban, who sees those as really like two different topics, or two different stories. Asiyas HaMishkan is Shmos, and Avodas HaMishkan is Vayikra. We understand that, well, I'm not saying that the Ramban holds like the Bavli against Yerushalmi, but the concept seems to be there. Then the rest of the Sugya, Ayin Dal Amud Beis, the rest of the Bishul discussion is about Bishul, non-food items. Shara Sichta La'atuna, putting the Sichta, which Rashi says is a wooden peg, you put it into the kiln to harden it into a usable peg, right now it's soft wood, put it into the kiln to harden it. The Gemara talks about melting kufra, melting tar or pitch. And then the Gemara talks about making various kalim and how many malachas. You make a chavis, that's 7 malachas. You make a tanur, it's 8 malachas, and so on and so forth. 10, 11, 13, and so forth. The Gemara talks about, and let's say for instance that the first of that series of items that involve malt, whose manufacture involves many malachas, the chavis, the barrel, Rashi says that the malacha number 7, we're talking about a clay barrel, an earthenware barrel, a ceramic barrel, and one of the malachas at the end of the list is mevashel. You put it into the, you bake the clay into ceramic, that's mevashel. So that's what the Rambam says. That there's bishul non-food items. Now what's interesting The Rambam talks about melting metal, he talks about melting wax, he talks about melting tar, and so on and so forth. Now, but in thinking about this Rambam, so there are a couple of important points to make. One is the kasha of the Lechem Mishnah. Lechem Mishnah points out that the Rambam is very clear that bishul on non-food items is either taking something hard and softening it, or taking something soft and hardening it. So the first list is melting wax and melting chalev and melting metal, matechas and matechas, and so on and so forth. But then he has also, if you take something soft, you make it hard. Mevashel klei adama. You took clay and you put it in the oven, and now it's rock solid, ceramic solid. The problem, Lechem Mishnah says, is the Gemara seems to have said that the bishul of non-food items is only softening, because the Gemara had said by the Shadu Sichta Latuna that what's the chirsha? Of course, it's mevashel. The Gemara says no. I might have thought that you're trying to be mechazik a sharuri mana. So that's not bishul. Kamash malam. You have to soften it first, presumably so all the water can escape, and then it hardens. So it's the softening for which you're chayiv. It's the softening for which you're chayiv. So that sounds like, and the Gemara also says about the kufra. What's the chiddush that you're chayiv for the kufra? Of course, no. Since when you let it cool down, it rehardens. I would have thought that's garnished. Kamash malan. No, you're chayiv because you initially you softened it. So Lechem Mishnah says, look, it sounds to the Gemara that hardening is patur, only softening is chayiv. The Ram says, beferish, both hardening and softening. So that's taka problem. That's taka problem. The Chemishna raises this kasha. The Chemishna raises this kasha. Here is in Halacha Vav. I would suggest two things to think about, two potential solutions to this. Where did the Rambam get this from? Isn't he against the Bavli? Number one, you may want to look around. Maybe there's some Yerushalmi. Okay. Maybe there's something out there. The Kedar Kishal Rambam, Lissa Kari Shalmi Negana Bavli. Okay. But even Minei Ubei, just looking at the Sugi alone, there may be, you got to think about it, there may be one of two solutions. Number one is, well, let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam, he said, he gave a Zehak Klal, which is intriguing, but before the Zehak Klal, he gave a list of both, right? He gave a long list of items whose melting is a chiyuv. He told us mevashel. He understands that bishul non-food items is a tolda. Or mevashel klei adama cheyasu cheres, chayv mishum mevashel. I bake klei adama. That appears to be what he's referring to when he says Hiksha Guf Rach. That's his example. Have we found it anywhere? The answer is yes. So the not only the other that some of the Gaonim have a different understanding of what Sichta is, but he said even Rashi said that the later line of the Gemara about Chavis, that Rashi himself said that baking clay into a ceramic barrel, that's a violation of Bishul. So that's what the Rambam is quoting also. That's bishul. Baking ceramic is bishul. That's maksha guf rach. That is a gemara. So how do you... It sounds like it's the loa ha-Rambam tulun ha-seinu ki la gemara. It's a stira here. Stira within the sugya. A stira within the sugya. So how do you understand that? How do you understand that? So I make two suggestions. Could be it's a machlokas amaram, maybe. Maybe Rava is disagreeing with the Mao Detema, the Kamashman from before. Maybe it's machlokas amaram. A little surprising that machlokas amaram within the sugya, and then the Gemara doesn't point it out. It's like the maybe it's like, you know, the Rebbeinu Ephraim's take on the this is still Yana Diyama in reverse. Rebbeinu Ephraim's take. And on the Chayv Nishal Vasume, then you have the story. The story is meant to dispute the memra. Maybe. So we said We said Mao the same, but then we quoted Rava. Maybe, okay, could be. Could be that, look, Rava disagrees. There were Amoraim who thought you're only chai if you soften, but Rava says befair, so you're chai for hardening, because Rava says befair, or at least Ray Rashi understands Rava, is that you're chai for baking ceramic. Maybe. I would make another suggestion, which is maybe the Gemara never said it. Maybe the Gemara never said only softening and not hardening. What do I mean? Because the Gemara didn't say, I would have thought you're only chayev, that you're putter because you're just taking a soft thing and hardening it. Come Ashla, no, you took a hard thing, you softened it. That's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara said, Ma'ad the same, but you're putter because you were doing what? Sharurei mana. Reinforcing, strengthening. Not as the Rambam said, taking something soft and hardening it. What are you doing with a wooden peg? It's already hard. And you're making it reinforced. You're making it even stronger. Why does that matter? Because l'chora, what the Rambam is saying is that it's bishul when you change the state of the item. I have something soft, I make it hard. I have something hard, I make it soft. Agav, a little bit like what we were saying before about molid, maybe not as extreme, and here it's an actual malacha because it's via heat. But the point is, I'm making a significant change. So if I have a solid piece of metal and I heat it until it melts, okay, I took something solid and I liquefied it, or at least significantly softened it. I have wax. I melted the wax. Or I had very soft clay before when the kiln, it's mushy. It comes out of the kiln hard. That's bishul, and that's rava. What the Gemara said, I would have thought that there's no chiyuv bishul on the peg. Why? Because what was it before it went into the kiln? Unlike the clay, when I bake a wooden peg in a kiln, I'm not taking something soft and making it hard. It already is hard. It's a solid piece of wood. It has some flexibility. Or maybe it'll break more quickly. I don't know if it's more flexible, less flexibility. It's not as rigid. Probably rigidity. It has more give. So I'm going to bake it so it'll have less give. I'm going to make it harder. But it's already hard. The change from before it goes in the raw wood to baked wood, from the before and after, they're not so different. It's a little harder. I mean, it's significant. If you're going camping, you may care. You rely on these pegs. You may want the additional hardness, but it's not a guf rach. You're not being maksha guf rach. You're being maksha guf kasha. You're making it harder. So that's not bishul. What's the Gemara's chiddush? No, but you soft temp while it's in the oven. It goes through a stage which your mamish softens. It doesn't stay that way, but that's still significant. And that's what the Gemara said about the kufra also. Right? I would have thought that why you putter? Because it's going to revert back to its original hardness. So maybe this whole, you liquefy, but it's only temporary. So maybe it doesn't matter. Kamashwa, no. But Kolzman, that it's, you got it soft, you melted it, so even though it's not going to last forever, okay, but still, that's significant. Very similar to what the Gemara is saying here. You had this hardwood, you temporarily softened it in the oven in a significant way. You needed it to soften so all the water could escape, okay? So for that temporary softening, you are chat. L'chora, that's another, again, if you're not going to say that Rava is disagreeing, Rava who says that you're chayev chatas for bishul of the kedera, l'chor, the way to make the sugi work well is once you say that is sharurei mana doesn't mean hardening, I mean making it a little harder, but not state change. The Rambam is only saying like a state change, like a very significant shift. And that, by the way, explains something else also. Once you understand what the Rambam is saying, and that's why he said the kol shel davar ripa. Not just ripa guf kasha, or not just hiksha guf rach. That's significant. It explains another Rambam as well in this halacha. You notice anything fascinating about what the Rambam says about metal? Let me see about metal, which is surprising. The Rambam says two different definitions, two different scenarios for bishul on metal. And he says either matich echem emina matchos, matich means you melted it, or mechamis amatechas atshitiyos agachelos. You heat it to the point where it glows, where it becomes a coal. Probably means where it glows. And you remember that the Ravid, as a matter of fact, is a little upset about this, because in Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says heating metal could be a told of mavir. The Ravid says, didn't you tell me earlier that it's bishul? Rambam appears to say it's both. Number one, Rambam gave two different scenarios of bishul on metal. One is where you melt it. The other one is where you turn into a gachelos, which might actually be bishul as well as mavir. So what do you have two? Which one is bishul on metal? And not only which one is bishul on metal, maybe they're both bishul on metal, which he seems to be saying, but at the end he gave a kol shel davar. Kol shel davar, ripa guf kasha, hiksha guf rach. So the first version of bishul of metal is ripa guf kasha. You took metal, you melted it. But turn to gachelos, what is that? Why is that bishul? You want to tell me that it's mavir? Okay. And by the way, saying that it's mavir, the Rambam in Perek Yud Beis, is the reason why incandescent bulbs are malacha, filament bulbs are malacha d'oraisa, because you're essentially heating metal until it glows. That's perhaps mavir and perhaps bishul also. But why? But why is it bishul? So lechor is the same var, it's a state change. In other words, I'm taking metal, either I'm taking solid metal and turning into liquid, or I'm taking solid metal and turning into something that is glowing, turning into a fire. Ha-gufa, that's why it's bishul. That's why it's bishul. Lechorah. So if you accept this sensitivity to the Rambam's klal shel davar, that the point is state change, significant change in the status of the item through heat, so then we understand why sharurei mana itself is not bishul, even though bishul of adama and techeres is bishul. Because sharurei mana is just taking a hard wooden peg and making it a little harder. That's not a significant shift. And that also speaks, finally, to this whole discussion in Achronim about putting a metal pot on the fire. You saw that Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, long, long Sifkat and Sama, Ha'ara Samach rather, footnote Sama, long, long. He quotes from Moshe Feinstein, he quotes others. Moshe Feinstein, in turn, is quoting to Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish is of the opinion that we were talking before, Mitzvah, we're going to surge forward beyond today into the Gzeres Rabbanon of Agabe Eish. You're putting a pot on the fire. Forget about the food, Chazon Ish says. It's fine to put an earthenware pot in the fire, assuming that the food is not an issue. A metal pot in the fire. Ooh, wah! Rambam! Perek Tes Halacha Vav. Magen HaKor by the Magen Avraham. Sifkat Yud. You better not put a metal pot in the fire. You're going to be mevashel the pot. Forget about the food. You're mevashel the pot. And the pot's not going to mamish glow. But okay. But maybe if you left it long enough, it would. Or maybe it's a chatzi shir towards getting the metal to glow. So Moshe Feinstein says that's absurd. With all due respect, that's utterly rejected. And the Shir Shabbos Kachasa quotes other Achorim as well, who reject the notion of the Chazon Ish. And the Shir Shabbos Kachasa, Rav Neuwirth himself, gives an important point that we had a chance to discuss in the Beis Midrash before, together with Uri. He says it's a, and we'll close with this, he said. He says it's the reason, what's wrong with the Chazon Ish, you got the metal to Yassel Erisbo, so why isn't that Chatzi Shir Bishul on the metal? So the answer is it's not a Chatzi Shir, it's a Chatzi Malacha. What does that mean? What that means is the following. It's already, I believe, a Me'iri, and the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa gives you other Marim Kamas, Rashash, Naf Gimel and Shabbos, and so forth. There is an idea of chatzi shir. That's an opening sugya in the last parak of Yuma. If it's an isur daraisa for me to eat a kazayis of chaylev, it's even asur for me to eat less than kazayis of chaylev. Machlok is yuach reshtakas asim and atar asim rabbanu. We pass an asim and ator. Chatzi shir is asim and ator. Okay, various reasons given by the sugya, but chatzi shir is asur min haTorah. So how about this? How about I say, look, imagine that on the other side of that door was Rosh Hashanah. So for me to pick up the watch, this watch here, and walk 20 feet through the door to put it down Rosh Hashanah, Akira here, Anacha there, carrying 20 feet be Mamash Malacha Daisa, Motzi Mishazyah, Rosh Hashanah. So far, so good. Yeah, why not? Let's say I carry 10 feet, and I stop 2 feet before I get to the door. I put it down. So instead of carrying 20 feet, I carry 10 feet. Chatzis shir, asman terer. Yeah? I must be going too long.
Right.
Means I can't pick up things in my house and put them down because I walk part of the way to the door. It's obviously absurd. Why is it absurd? It's chatzis shir. The answer is no. That's what Meir refers to as chatzis melacha. Why? Chatzis melacha means that the reduction of the shear didn't just, it's not just a difference of degree, it's a difference of kind. It's not just I ate less, but I'm still eating, just eating less food, but the reduction in the shear is such that I haven't really done the action, the verb changed. The whole essence of the malacha is I'm moving the item from Rishus number A to Rishus number, from Rishus A to Rishus B. But here, I didn't move it Rishuyos at all. I carried it. It's not malacha of carrying. It's malacha of switching Rishuyos. There's a round that seems to indicate. Same is true by Dal Am Rishus Rabin. The Gemara says that Beis Am Rishus Rabin is mutter. Why is it mutter? Should be chatzis shir. Should be asma Torah chatzis shir. Not asma Torah. It's not asma Rabbanan. Should just pick up something Rishus Rabin, put it down 2 amas away, vizel, not pick it up again. Hetzer Gamer. Why chatzis shir? The answer is a round that seems to say. Because Dalet Amos is Mekomo Shel Chefet. So to pick something up, put it down beyond the Dalet Amos radius, that's Motzi Mishus. So I put it down within the Dalet Amos radius, it's just putting it in within the same Mishus. That's a Chatzim Melacha. So that's what, and there are other examples of this as well. Chatzim Melacha, where the reduction of the shear changes the pu'ula, it's no longer the same action. So then that's not Chatzim Shear. It's not that I'm eating, but I'm eating less. I'm not eating at all. It's like a, So that's where Rav Neuwirth says, this is a chatzim malacha. I'm heating metal, but like, why is it a chatzim malacha? The sage pointed out, it's like, the chatzim nish would agree, if I heat something to blow out Solana's bow, that's not the chatzim shir of Bishul. Why not? It's part of the way. The answer is no, because Bishul involves heat. Blow out Solana's bow isn't heat. It's not Bishul at all. That's the ultimate chatzim malacha. Who would deny me over here? Why is it a chatzim malacha? Because again, the whole, it goes back to the same you say in the Rambam. The whole definition of bishul non-food items, it's not just heating things. It's changing state through heat. It's not, again, by food, it was making inedible edible through heat. By non-food items, it's changing the state of the item through heat. So that's why, number one, it could be that sharurei is not a kasha. Because if it's hard and something that's already hard is not the malacha. That's why we understand well why turning metal into gacheles is bishul in parallel to melting solid metal, because they're both types of state change. And number three, we understand well, Neuwirth points out, why heating metal, but not to the point of either of those two finish lines, it hasn't softened and it hasn't glowed, so you haven't done anything. It's not chatzis shir, it's chatzis melacha. The point isn't heating. The point is state change. You haven't changed, there's no chiddush item, it's a garnish. So that appears to be the approach of the vast majority of achronim, that to put a metal pot, put a metal block on the oven on Shabbos is absolutely fine, unless you're worried it's going to melt. Unless you're worried the metal's going to get soft, or you're worried the metal's going to start to glow, short of that, there is no problem whatsoever. Baruch Hashem, the Lord said, Shin Yuches, Shin Yates, significant parts of Shin Chafal and Shin Lamed Vav. Baruch Hashem, we really have worked hard through most of the malachas who's doing the pas. Hadron Alach Vadrach Alon. Mitzvah going forward for the remaining couple of days, and if you want to continue working over Pesach and certainly beyond Pesach, we're going to shift our pivot from Gemara Sugyas to Shulchan Aruch in Sidur Dabas to working on the halacha lemaisa of the gezeros of Agave Esh.